Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Political hitman. I'm Howie Silberger, your political hitman, here on Israel News Talk Radio. Wow, the world seems to change every week I get on this show. It's amazing. It's amazing how things change, but they pretty much stay the same. I love the way that happens. We see a new government in Israel. We see an old celebration and the crazy media couldn't capture the actual events of what happened, because the media doesn't do that. Media tends to be a propaganda machine, and we see a repeat in Israel politics. I know I'm jumping back and forth a little bit here, but we see a repeat in Israeli politics of something that may have happened in America: the stealing of an election. It fascinates me how the more things change, the more things stay the same. And so I want to talk a little bit about all these things that have happened in the last week since we've done this show. And of course, I want to invite you to join me on the air so we could talk about this together. In Israel, you could dial 02-6500-151. In North America, the number is 301-768-4841. You could join me in the chat room on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, where the chat is always great and the conversation is really interesting. So you should join me in the chat room at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and it is just fascinating the change in the world. Now, I'm not saying the whole world changed, because we still see big spats of Jews. Various cities have been firebombed in the last week. We've seen Jews still being attacked on the streets, so that hasn't changed. But the new government in Israel is going to be interesting. I want to talk about this for a little bit when we come back from the break. I want to talk about this a little bit. But new government in Israel, I don't want to spend too much time on that, because I know other people have beaten this to death. So I want to talk about this a little bit. I want to talk about the Flag Day March and a whole lot more. Right here on Political Hitman on Israel News Talk Radio.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel? Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Political hitman.
I'm Howie Silberger, your political hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. You could join me in the chat room by going to IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com and clicking on that big button that says chat room. I will be monitoring the chat the entire show. You could call in. This is a call-in show, so it'd be great if you called in. Numbers to call in North America, 301-768-4841. In Israel, the number is 02-6500-151. You could, of course, get those numbers on the top of the page on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. So Israel finally has a government. It took a long time, took a few elections, but finally Israel has a government. Is everybody happy about this government? No. Why are people not happy? Well, it's quite simple. The coalition that came out of nowhere, really,
is not a unity coalition. Let's be honest. I know the media is trying to depict it as a unity coalition. They're trying to say that this is unified Arabs, Jews, left wing, right wing, everybody unified. It is not a unified coalition. The jihadists that are part of the coalition, the jihadist party, whose main goal is, of course, to destroy Israel, who are now part of the governmental coalition, the first Arab party ever to be part of the government of Israel. I don't think they share the same values and the same objectives as any of the Jewish parties. This is a coalition of convenience. And what was the convenience? Well, it's quite simple. I mean, to me, it's really obvious. Naftali Bennett wanted to be prime minister. He didn't want Benjamin Netanyahu around. They wanted to oust Netanyahu. And this was the only way they could do it. This was basically an overthrow of a government that should have been headed by Bibi Netanyahu. Now, I know I've said on the show before that I think Netanyahu has outstayed his welcome as prime minister of the state of Israel. I really felt that it was time to change the prime minister. People who stay in the same position, in my opinion, tend to have a get complacent. They tend to be the same, and there's no movement, there's no growth. And so every few years, you have to change governments. This is why most governments have term limits. So the prime minister or the president can only be president or prime minister for a certain amount of time. Then they have to move on. Because if somebody stays in the position too long, two things happen. One, there's no movement, there's no growth. The position stays the same, and the government and the country pretty much stays the same. And two, the political leader, whoever it may be, gets more and more powerful. And then there's always the risk of that political leader becoming a dictator. Now, this was not the case in Israel, but this is the case. This is why there are term limits in different parts of the world and why people want to change their governments every few years. All right. So that said, Israel went to election a bunch of times in the last year. And each time it was a close call between Bibi Netanyahu and whoever was running against him. It was a close call. They were neck and neck each of the elections. Now, it's not a surprise that a good portion of the Israelis voted for Bibi Netanyahu. That's not shocking. And it's not shocking that they expected, if a coalition was going to happen involving people who were associated with Bibi Netanyahu, people who were aides to Bibi Netanyahu, people who work with Netanyahu, that Netanyahu would be part of this coalition, would still be the prime minister of the state of Israel. It was not out of the realm of possibility, not out of the realm of thinking for people who supported this movement, that Bibi would be the prime minister. But unfortunately, an ambitious young man decided to take his ambition to a level which I think borders on treacherous. And I'll tell you why. I know it's really a tough statement to say that the prime minister of Israel, the current prime minister of Israel, was a little treacherous in him grabbing the position of prime minister. But I'll tell you why I think this way. In order to get this coalition running, he had to make promises to the left wing. He had to make promises to the Arabs. He had to make promises to everybody. Now, promises that we probably know won't be kept. Promises that we probably know this government's going to break up and it's going to fall apart. As the coalition continues and as the government continues, it'll last for a few months and then it'll probably fall apart and Israel will have to go back to elections again. So chances are that it's not going to last very long. Why put the country through something like this, through some kind of strange coalition between right wing, left wing, and Arabs, and put them through the torturous task of living through whatever changes these people are going to try to make in Israel, and then through another election in 6 months, 8 months, a year from now. It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. Not that I'm saying that anything that happens in Israeli politics is logical, but this is definitely not logical. I just don't get it. And I've been watching Israeli politics for a long time. And I just don't get this move. I understand the ambition of a young politician who wants to get the top job. I get the ambition. I get the idea that he wanted to oust the guy who's been there for 20 years. Fine, I understand. That I get. But in order to do that, to side with the enemy, to side with a party that promotes or supports the destruction of the country that you're governing, it seems odd that you would do that. The prime minister calls himself a religious man, and then to side with non-religious parties, not even have any religious parties as part of your coalition, and to side with non-religious secular parties that are pushing secularism and the removal of Judaism from the state of Israel. It just seems to me like he was desperate to get anything, any coalition, doesn't matter who, together so he could become prime minister. And in all my years in teaching history, we always have to be a little careful when we talk about how leadership is gained. And you have to remember history. This is the importance of learning history, because when you look at history, you understand the trends and you understand where they go, and you're able to recognize them as they come up. And a man who works based on his ambition, but not based on the betterment of the country, not based on the best interest of the country, is not the kind of guy you want to be prime minister. Because if he's working solely on his ambition, and this is what it seems like, Naftali Bennett only pushed to become prime minister and only pushed this coalition so that he could gain control and become the prime minister of the state of Israel. And if that is the case, and this man is working solely based on his personal ambition to hold the top job in Israel, then the country is in serious trouble. And then the citizens of the country have to really watch this government. They really have to control these people. And they have to make sure that whatever changes this coalition does, and I'm willing to wager that this coalition ain't going to last very long, but whatever changes this coalition does is not too damaging to the foundation of the state of Israel. It's not too damaging to the structure of the state of Israel. It's not too damaging to the Jewish nature of the state of Israel. This is what the citizens have to do now. And it's what happens when you elect and you allow the placement of a government that may or may not be supportive of the Zionist cause. So to me, this is a ridiculous government. It is a foolish government. It is a government of convenience, a coalition of convenience, and it is dangerous for the country. Governments of the State of Israel, who is constantly under attack, have to be strong governments. They have to be governments that support and stand behind the state through thick and thin, who won't fight over the actions that benefit the state of Israel, that will actually look out for the best interest of the state. And to me, this is not that government. And it's very unfortunate that in this time when Israel's under attack, and under attack worldwide, and under attack physically by Hamas, that we're looking at a government that doesn't really support the fundamental aspects of the state of Israel. It's damaging, it's scary, and I really hope that the citizens of the state of Israel have a little bit of oversight and are able to watch these people carefully and ensure that the government, looking out for the citizens of the state of Israel, looking out for the survival of the state of Israel, and protecting the people as they should be protected. The second you add a jihadi group into the coalition, I worry about the state of Israel. I'm Howie Subiger. This is Political Hitman on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Political Hitman. I'm Howie Silberger, your political hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. Feel free to join me in the chat room at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, where the conversation's always going. It's always happy, and I'm always thrilled to read it. It's fun. It's fun to watch the conversation on Israel News Talk Radio. You could also call in. This is a call-in show, so you can feel free to call in. In North America, the number is 301-768-4841. In Israel, the number is 02-650-0151. The numbers are found on the top of the page at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. So thousands of people turned out for the Jerusalem flag march yesterday, and Hamas didn't fire any rockets, surprisingly. They had threatened to fire rockets, and Israel warned them, if you fire rockets, we're going to retaliate strongly. So Hamas did Israel a favor and allowed them to celebrate the reunification of Jerusalem, which, by the way, should have been celebrated a few months ago, but, you know. So to celebrate the reunification of Jerusalem by marching down the street with flags. Now, police estimates say there were about 5,000 people who had attended the march. And for the 5,000 people attending the march, there were about 2,000 security personnel. Now, that seems like a lot of security for 5,000 people. But we have to understand that that these 5,000 people were marching through an Arab through Arab sections of town. And the Arabs were not so happy about that. So, of course, there was a little bit of fighting between police and Arabs who were protesting against the march, with protesters throwing rocks at police. Now, 33 protesters were reportedly injured and 17 were arrested. Now, there was footage that was shown on social media with a couple of radicals yelling certain things that were not very nice. There's always extremists that show up to these things. But in general, it was a nice, peaceful celebration of the reunification of Jerusalem. The final reunification of Jerusalem, where Jews took over the land that was theirs, the city that was theirs, and reunified the holiest city in Judaism. And we should celebrate this. But unfortunately, the celebration of Yom Yerushalayim a few months ago was curtailed. It was held off because of COVID in North America, because of rockets raining down on the heads of Israelis in Israel. And so we didn't get to celebrate the reunification of Jerusalem and the 50th year of the reunification of Jerusalem, which we should have celebrated, regardless of what was happening. So, I mean, if Black Lives Matter was allowed to have rallies and protests right across the United States and Canada and the world during COVID, and people were encouraged to go and celebrate or protest Black Lives Matter, then we should have been able to celebrate Yom Yerushalayim anywhere around the world. This is what we should have been able to do. But that didn't happen. So yesterday, Israel finally celebrated the reunification of Jerusalem with their flag march, their annual flag march. The chants that were chanted, some people in the crowd chanted death to the Arabs. That was not a very smart thing to do, not a very nice thing to do, and should be condemned. Should be condemned right across the board. Listen, I understand that there are certain people who feel that there is a superiority and a right to yell death to somebody else. That this is a religious obligation, or this is a right, or this is some kind of political right, or whatever the reason behind yelling that stuff is. There are people who believe that this is the solution to the Arab-Israel problem. I disagree, and I disagree for very specific reasons. I don't believe murdering people is the way to solve a problem. It generally, historically, causes other problems. So killing people is not really the solution. It tends to generate a lot of anger, which generates a lot more opposition towards your party and towards your country, and generally leads to more violence. So killing people indiscriminately is not really the solution. Well, then again, the Arabs that were throwing rocks at the Jews that were walking with their flags near Damascus Gate are living in Israel. Most of them are Israeli citizens. They're mostly Arab Israeli citizens, and most of them are living under the protection of the Jewish state, and under the guise of living peacefully within the country. So, in order to achieve peace, well, and this is what the main goal is, I hear of most people, is that they want to achieve peace in the region. In order to achieve peace, both sides have to want to achieve peace. Both sides have to want to live together, or at least live next to each other, in some kind of peaceful way. This is the only way to achieve peace. One side can't enforce it on the other side, and one side can't say, okay, we're living in peace, and you guys want to fight, you can fight. That doesn't work. That's not how peace works. So peace works where both sides want the same thing. The end goal has to be the same. And time again, Israel shows that they want peace, and they just want to live in their country and celebrate their victories and be happy and live peacefully. And time again, the Arab population of Israel has proven that they are not willing to do that, that they are not interested in that. That's not part of their plan. There was no reason at all, none whatsoever, for Arabs to go out today and throw rocks at Jews. No reason at all. Why did they do it? Because they wanted to stir it up. There's never a reason for Arabs to stand on the Temple Mount and throw rocks down at Jews praying at the Kotel, at the Western Wall. There's never reason for that. Why do they do it? To stir things up. Because they know that the media is going to look at the situation and say, look at what the Jews did. They're always going to turn it around. It's always the Jews' fault. So, a mostly 100% peaceful demonstration today. Thousands of people walking with flags, celebrating the reunification of Jerusalem. And the media in North America, the North American media, has covered this as Israelis instigating against the Arabs. They're walking around instigating against the Arabs. They're walking around and trying to take over Arab neighborhoods. This is how the media in the States has reported this flag march. Media in Israel has been much better. The Jerusalem Post was referring to right wing and settlers and occupiers. I mean, that's Jerusalem Post. It's an Israeli paper, and this is what they were referring to. So until the truth is reported, and it's never reported. You never see the truth reported until the bias is taken out of the media. It's up to you, me, and everybody else who understands that the media is not covering the situation fairly, that there is a bias in the media against Israel, and I would say by extension against Jews. We see it time and time again. That we have to keep spreading the word, that we have to keep talking about it, we have to keep telling people that this is what happens. And this is what happened. It's not what you read in the paper. It's not what you read on the website. It's not what your friend Abdul told you. This is not what happened. What happened is this, and tell the truth. And the truth is that the flag march had 5,000, 6,000, 10,000 participants, and it was 100% peaceful. And the only violence that happened, and the only time that there was a scuffle or some kind of violence, was when Arabs attacked Jews. Not the other way around. There was no instigation. This event happens every year. Everybody knows it was going to happen. It was advertised. People knew this was going to happen. The only violence that happened was when the Arabs attacked the Jews. No Jews attacked Arabs. And that's the truth. And we have to tell the truth. So if the Jerusalem Post doesn't want to tell the truth, if the New York Times doesn't want to tell the truth, if the Washington Post doesn't want to tell the truth, then we have to tell the truth. Because if we don't tell the truth, then the lies that they print become the truth. And I am sick and tired. I am personally sick and tired of seeing those lies become the truth. Time and time again, we see those lies becoming the truth. And that's unacceptable. I was a journalist for over 20 years. I worked for major newspapers for over 20 years. And my mantra was always, cover both sides of the story, give an objective look at the situation. That was always what I strived to do. And I always ran into editors and publishers of newspapers that told me, no, in this paper here, objectivity means that we follow the viewpoints of the publisher, of the editor of the paper. That's what objectivity here means. So if we are pro-Israel paper, then all articles have to slant pro-Israel. If we're an anti-Israel paper, all articles have to slant anti-Israel. There's no such thing as objectivity. That's the way media works today. And that's what is scary, because it brainwashes the population to hate Israel. We have to fight with every fiber of our beings against that. I'm Howie Silberger. This is Political Hitman on Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Political Hitman. I'm Howie Silberger, your political hitman, here on Israel News Talk Radio. Feel free to call in. Number is to call 301-768-4841 in North America. In Israel, the number is 02-650-0151. So Israel has a weak government. They have a they celebrated their flag day, the day of reunification of Jerusalem. And we say in North America, and then we saw Arabs attacking Jews during this demonstration. during the celebration of the reunification of Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, they were attacking Jews. And we see in North America, Jews are still being attacked. They're being attacked on the street. In Europe, Jews are still being attacked. They're being attacked on the street. So I will point out a couple of incidents. In New York City, a bunch of Hasidic Jews were beaten up while walking down the street in Williamsburg. This is not an unusual case for New York. We saw all summer, last summer, Jews being beaten up continuously. And the government of New York doing nothing to stop it. The police of New York doing very little to stop it. We covered that all summer last summer, and I'm hoping that this summer will be different, but it seems to be shaping up to be the same thing. And I'm really hoping that the Jews of New York don't have to go through another summer of random attacks. But if they do, we will keep telling you about them, and we will keep pushing and trying to raise awareness so that the government of New York will push the police force to step up their security and their protection of the Jews of New York. A restaurant in Montreal, Quebec, was firebombed. A kosher restaurant was firebombed. The police suspect it was a hate crime. They suspect that it was a result of a retaliatory crime for events in the Middle East. They haven't caught a suspect or even identified a suspect yet. The restaurant wasn't heavily damaged. Its front window was broken. A Molotov cocktail was thrown in, but didn't catch fire. And so so there was no fire damage, just some broken glass and a little bit of a mess. Nobody was in the restaurant when the restaurant was attacked. In Toronto, Ontario, there was there were three Jews who were beaten up in a park while people yelled "Free Gaza." This is what happened in Toronto, Ontario. In Chicago, Illinois, there were two Jews that were beaten up on the way to synagogue on Saturday morning. There was no motive for their beating up, and they didn't catch any suspects, so nobody knows why they were beaten up. But that happened in Chicago on Saturday morning. So Jews in North America are being beaten and being attacked randomly in an effort to I don't even know what the goal of attacking Jews outside of Israel is. If they attacked Israeli citizens or attacked government officials or army people and said, "We are attacking you because we feel that you're oppressing us, or we feel that you have some kind of an issue against us, or we have some issue against you," that would make a lot more sense than attacking random people outside of the state of Israel. It doesn't make much sense to me why Jews are being attacked in Chicago, in Toronto, in Montreal. It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense at all. The only sense I can make of it is the same sense I made of it last week, is that Jews are being attacked because this is not a political war. This is not a land war. I know we spoke about this before, but it never hurts to repeat this, that the war between Arabs and Jews, and notice I didn't say Israelis, I said Arabs and Jews in the Middle East, is exactly that. It's a Muslim-Jewish war. It's not an Arab-Israeli war. Israel could disappear tomorrow, and if Jews still lived in the land, if there were still some Jews living in the land, they would be massacred. And they would be massacred because they are Jewish. We saw it happen before, and it would happen again if the state of Israel disappeared and Jews lived there. The Arabs would come and kill them. Because this is a religious war. This is a war of religions, of superiority. And it's a one-sided war on top of that. So not only is it a war of superiority, but now it's a one-sided war where the Muslims are trying to wipe out the Jews. So you know what that's called? That's called a genocidal war. So let's use the proper terminology, because it's very hard to, it's very, very, very hard to talk about something when we don't use the proper terminology. And we tend to lose our words when we talk about the Israel and the Arab conflict, the words tend to disappear and they tend to be used wrongly. So I've always advocated using words correctly, which is why I don't use the word anti-Semitism on the show, even though that term was coined to talk about the hatred of Jews. I don't use it. I use anti-Jewism. And the reason I use anti-Jewism is because it's a much clearer, title. Anti-Semitism, the Arabs, and I've seen this, the Arabs say, ah, oh, we're Semites too, so you can't, you know, a cultural appropriation or some stupidity like that. So let's just be clear. We're talking about Jew hatred. We're talking about anti-Jewism. So this is why I use these kind of terms, because I believe that terminology and vocabulary is important when we talk about this. You will almost never hear, unless I'm reading something, some newspaper article or whatever, you won't ever hear me refer to the West Bank. Because that is it's not only a geographically wrong definition, a wrong description of the territory that's being talked about, but that territory has names. And we should use the names of the territory. This is, you know, Jews are the indigenous people of that territory, a territory called Judea. Where do you think Jews came from? Where do you think the Jewish people came from? Don't you think they might have come from a place called Judea? That's what makes sense to me. I mean, it's logical. It makes sense. Historically, that's historically what we're told. This is what is historically documented. And so if the Jews are the indigenous people of Judea, referring it to as occupied or referring to Jews as occupiers is a misnomer. It's not true. And it is the propaganda machine of the Western media that has created this false narrative. And it's up to you and me to stop using the terminology, to stop justifying the false story. The story is completely false. It's made up. It's manufactured. And it's manufactured for propagandic purposes. And what is the propaganda trying to do? It is trying to destroy the state of Israel. So much like the BDS has replaced the PLO as the group that wants to destroy the state of Israel, they want to destroy it economically from the inside out. These stories and this narrative that was created is intended to destroy Israel from the outside in. So to turn the world against Israel, to convince the world that Israel is somehow the bad guys in this whole story, and to convince the world not to support the only Jewish state. So the narrative was created for that. And if we use the terminology of that narrative, if we continue to use the terminology of the narrative, we are justifying it. We are condoning it. We are legitimizing it. And by legitimizing it, by using the narrative, then we are actually working against our own cause. We are working against our own state. We are working to destroy the state of Israel. We are working with the Arabs to destroy the state of Israel. So there is absolutely no reason why any Jewish person or any person who supports the state of Israel, any person who supports any kind of historical accuracy, would ever refer to land as occupied, or ever refer to land as the West Bank, or ever refer to Jews as occupiers, or ever refer to Israel as an apartheid state. Because if you take a look at the history of apartheid, or the history of occupations, or the history of why Israel controls the land they control, you'll realize that international law is on Israel's side. That international law is 100% on Israel's side. And I think that Israel advocacy outside of Israel is extremely easy. I don't think it's very difficult. I just don't think it's done properly. I think that people who advocate for Israel should just simply say, hey, listen, there is legal precedent for Israel to be there. I mean, we don't have to justify the state of Israel. The United Nations already did. They accepted Israel as a state. We don't have to justify the land conquered in a defensive war. That is land conquered in a defensive war. It belongs to the people who conquered it. It always has historically, and that's what international law says. We don't have to call Israel occupiers. They're not occupiers. They're not occupying anything. They are
taking over the land that was given to them by the League of Nations. So we got to argue this properly, and I don't know if people are being taught how to do this properly. And so that is really the end of this show. We should encourage Jewish schools to teach properly. Forget about even-handedness. Forget about political correctness. Forget about showing both sides. We have to show both sides. Why? How about showing the truth? How about talking about how the PLO was created in 1964 by the KGB and the Arab League? How about talking about the Arafat being an Egyptian that was parachuted in, who created this fictional people out of nothing? How about telling the truth? If we all started doing that, maybe we could come to some kind of conclusion to this Arab-Israel problem. I'm Howie Silverman, this is Political Hitman. I'll see you again next week, right here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.